1, 2, 1, 2, here we go. Brilliant. God, it's absolutely freezing, isn't it? Oh, so anyway, happy new year to everybody here this morning. It's great seeing you, and well done for making the effort, because I know what it's like on a day like this. It's quite nice to stay at home, isn't it? But well done for doing that. It's great to see you. And we had a great day on New Year's Day. We went up to Phoenix Park, and the sun was out, and the snow was everywhere, and we took Zach up there. And it was one of the most beautiful days I've had since I've been in Dublin, in terms of just the beauty, and just looking out there and just seeing how wonderful God's creation is, and the reminder of the good things of God. And I think it's a wonderful thing to remember today, isn't it? So what I'm going to speak about this morning is something which I think is an encouragement to each one of us here this morning. And I'm going to be reflecting on the words that Moses spoke to Joshua and the words that Joshua had to walk out. And what I'm encouraged about these words is they're the words that we need to hear on our journey with God. And they're not a historical word located in history for a time such as that. It's a time such as this, and they're words that we need to hear as a people. And so I'm going to pray, I'm going to read this little bit out of scripture, and then I'm going to comment on it, and then I'll take you through a few things that I believe the Lord's shown me. So Lord Jesus, we just thank you that we can come together as your people. We thank you, Lord, that your name is above us, Lord, the name of Jesus Christ, that we are yours, and you bought us with a price. And we just thank you so much, Father, for the cost that you laid down for us. And Lord, I just want to pray this morning that these words that you have spoken in history, Lord, will resonate in our history and in our today and in our future. They may be a great encouragement to each one of us here, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you want to quickly turn with me to Deuteronomy 31, which is the kind of the fifth book at the beginning of the Bible. So I'm going to quickly read it. It says this. This is Joshua 31. It says, "Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I'm now 120 years old. I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, 'You shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.' Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with these people into the land the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.'" And so this is a story of the commissioning of Joshua to take over the leadership from Moses. Moses is an old man now. He's 120 years old. He's no longer able to lead the people. And the Lord has said to Moses that it's not him who would lead the people into the promised land, but it would be Joshua. And he promises Joshua that the Lord himself will go ahead of him to prepare the way, and Joshua will be the one who leads his people. And what I love about this story is this, that Moses was commissioning Joshua for his journey. He was reminding him of God's faithfulness on the journey that Moses had experienced in his life. He was saying to Moses, to Joshua, that you have a journey that you are going to take. I've had mine, and these are the things that I've learned on my journey that have enabled me to do what God has called me to do. And as we remember last year and look forward to all that is ahead, what is it that you need to remember on your journey, on your walk with God? And each one of us here will have different roads to face, different challenges, different things ahead. And I know from talking to people in the church, there's people here who have loved ones who are sick, having to deal with illness, having to face the uncertainty of unemployment, people in particularly difficult jobs at this time having to navigate through financial markets, through difficult situations, having to find a way through. In 3 weeks' time, Catherine and I are having our second baby, and I'm thinking, it was hard enough having the first one, now we're going to have another one. And I'm really excited about it, but I'm thinking, how are we going to get through this journey? And so each one of us have different things to face, each one has a road to walk upon, but each one of us here has everything in common. God is with us. And I was reading in Luke 24 a while back, and this is a very familiar story. We hear it many, many times. And there are two people walking away from Jerusalem. Jesus had been crucified outside the city wall. They had seen Jesus minister. They'd seen the power of God's work upon the earth. They'd seen people's lives changed. And the one they put their hope in had been crucified. And as far as they're concerned, it is finished. That was the end of it. So they're walking away from the city. They're walking away from the place of Jerusalem. And on the road of confusion, disappointment, Jesus revealed himself to them. Because Jesus said he will never leave you nor forsake you. Because God is with us. A good number of years ago now, and I say it's when I was about 18, just so that you realise that it wasn't a recent thing, because that's the context that's important to say, just so that you don't drag me off somewhere. But when I was growing up, I lived in Shirleywood, as many of you would know, and one day I was in a situation where I was a young man, probably quite angry, as most young men are, or some of my young men are, trying to make sense of life and all that kind of stuff. And I met up with my friends at lunchtime. We went to the local pub, had a few beers, and I was probably, to be honest, had quite a good few beers. And I was a very foolish person at the time, and I decided to drive home. And I know that's absolutely wrong, and I wouldn't do that now, but I was young. And so I invited a friend of mine to get into the car with me. And so we drove back from this pub, and we went through down by a station, underneath a bridge, around the corner, into Chorleywood High Street, which is the very centre of where I used to grow up. And when I was younger, we used to get the back end of the car out going around the corner, you know, because we thought it was quite cool. And so I thought, you know, let's do what we normally do. And so I had a few beers, and as we did, we went around the corner, and then went that way, and then suddenly the car flipped over on its roof and went straight through a hedge, and the car was a complete write-off. I smacked my nose against the steering wheel, and I got out of the car thinking, oh my gosh, you know, this is the high street, this is my local town. It's like an island, everybody knows you. And so my poor dad had to come down and get me out of the car, and I was arrested, taken down to the local police station, charged with being over the limit with a potential court case. So as a young man, I thought, oh my gosh, what is going on my journey? What is going on my road? And so my dad, for a short period of time after that, invited me to go with him for a few days down to Cornwall, just have some time out to get away from the situation I'd found myself in. And so we spent a week kind of walking on sort of coastal paths, hanging out together, just getting away from it all. And my dad was a real support to me through that time. But as one of the walks we were doing, we're going across this this coastal cliff. We came down into this area and round a corner. And we bumped into someone that my dad had known for many years. And so we just stopped, and he said, "Oh, this is my son, Jonathan," etc. And we talked. And for some reason, I really got on well with this person. We kind of really connected. And you know what it's like sometimes, you meet someone and suddenly you just kind of know this is a connection thing. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I then had to go and go to court, and I got banned from driving for 18 months. I got a fine of £150. And I thought, this is not a great start to my life and my career and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, a few days after having to face the court case, I got a letter from the person I had bumped into on my walk along that coastline. And in the letter was a cheque for £150, which obviously covered the cost of, you know, my fine and everything. And like on the road to Emmaus, they had lost focus that God was with them. I, at the time, hadn't committed myself to following the law, but God hadn't forgotten me. He was committed to my life. He was committed to the journey that I was on, that even in the midst of my me doing what I did, he wanted to meet with me on that road, because God is with us. And so Moses was reminding Joshua on his journey what we need to remember on our journeys. And this is what he said. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Then he goes on to say, in the presence of all the people, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with the people into the land the Lord swore to his forefathers to give them." He goes on to say, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid or do not be discouraged." And my reading of this is, this Moses, a man of great experience, a man who we can recognize as a great man, but he was a man who knows what we need to remember on the journeys that God has called us to walk. He must have known that Joshua was going to be quite fearful and worried. But this is a man who's walked the road, he's done the walk, and he's saying to him, this is what God is like. Be strong and courageous. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more in a minute. And then we see Deuteronomy 34. It says, "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses." And so Moses was commissioning Joshua. Joshua then had his hands laid on by Moses to anoint him and for him to be the next man that God was going to lead God's people. And so the time had come for Joshua to move out from being a mentored person to be the leader of Israel. Moses was dead. His leadership had come to an end. And Joshua was being lined up to be the leader of the people. It says this in the beginning of Joshua 1. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to all the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." And so Moses is dead, and now it's time for Joshua to step in as leader of Israel. And the first thing that God calls him to do is to say this, is get ready. Be prepared. Because I'm leading you to a land, and I'm going to give you every place that you set foot, just as I promised Moses. He goes on to say that no one will be able to stand against you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what is it that God is asking you to get ready for this year? I can't answer that question, but you can. What has God promised you or asked you to do? What is it he called you? What, in the same way he called Moses, and in the same way he called Joshua? What is it that you have to face this coming year? What is it that you are fearful of? God says to Joshua, you will inherit the land I swore to your forefathers to give them. But be strong and courageous. And I was thinking about this. How do we become strong and courageous? Because so often we feel our knees are going like this. And we don't feel particularly strong and courageous, do we? We kind of feel, oh my gosh, how on earth this? How does this work? But I think it's the thing, it's recognizing that God is with us. Isn't it? It's recognizing, it's taking the time to recognize that God is with us. And at Christmas we talked about Emmanuel coming. God is with us. And I was thinking about how do we become strong and courageous? Well, I believe it's a posture before God. It's not how you feel. It's standing on the promises of God. You see, courage isn't a lack of fear, but the courage to face the fear. And in our uncertainty, there's a certainty that God is with us. And one of the things, that when I was looking at the story as I was preparing this, about Jesus calming the storm, that wasn't the thing that stood out to me. We've heard that story so many times, we say, oh, Jesus calmed the storm. It wasn't that Jesus calmed the storm, it was that Jesus was in the storm. Do you see? It wasn't that Jesus calmed the storm, but that he was there with us in the storm. Because God is with us. And I think so often I take my eyes off the truth of who God is and I forget that he's with me. And I become anxious and I look inwards and I try and be the answer to the situation. I try and navigate my way through. I try and go around the outside. I try and go over the top. We end up blaming other people. Because we're stuck, because we haven't reminded ourselves that it's God who's with us. It's God who makes a way. It's God who helps us. God will never leave us or forsake us. It's God who gives us courage. It's God who gives us strength. It's God that gives us all things to do, the things that he's called us to do. He then goes on to say, again, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful whatever you do. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. And again, God is saying, be strong and courageous. But it requires us to be in the boundaries of blessing. I've told you this many times, I'll tell you many times again. In Jude, in the book of the Bible, in the Living Bible, it says this: stay always within the boundaries where God's love can reach you and bless you. Let nothing in our lives separate us from God's love. And the thing that Rob reminded us that today was a Psalm 1 about people who delight and meditate on God's word. It establishes us. It gives us a firm foundation. It reminds us what is true and what is not true. And when we build our lives upon God's word and we walk out within his commands, we build our house upon the rock. For when the storm comes, we will stand. And when the storm comes, we will know that Jesus is in the storm with us. And then this is one of the things I'm going to talk about in the future, because it's something that God's really been speaking to me about. God wants his people to have beautiful minds. You know the film A Beautiful Mind? Because when we have God's mind, when we have our mind renewed, everything changes. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And when our minds are transformed by God, when we our minds are transformed for reading God's word, meditating on scripture, establishing deep roots, we begin to see situations in different ways. See, the human tendency is to focus on the bad, and that doesn't take any effort, does it? I mean, how many times do you wake up in the morning and think the worst scenario? Seriously. And we think, you know, we're predispositioned to sort of say, oh my gosh, this is going to be awful. Why is that? When I get on a plane, I think it's going to crash. That's my first thoughts. I hate, I'm getting better at flying on planes. If I go on there thinking, my gosh, I say to my wife, I love her, I hold Zach. I think, gosh, this is going to be the last one. I've flown in Russia, and whenever the plane lands, everyone goes, and I feel exactly the same, because I mean, in Russia, they've probably got very good reasons. Have you ever flown Aeroflot? My gosh, I don't want to be sued for anything allegedly, but allegedly it's not the one to fly, allegedly. But they're the kind of things. But that's the same scenario, isn't it? We're talking about this the other day, about our new baby. We think, will it be all right? Is it going to be okay? Is the birth going to be okay? And so I'd already thought about the worst scenario before thinking, actually, we've got a new life coming into the world. How exciting is that? You see, when we renew our mind, we renew our hope. And when we renew our hope, we see things with great potential. We can become the people that God wants us to be. And I've been watching the darts over the bank holiday. I quite like watching it. It's quite funny. You can see the guys who are going to win because they know that there's a real hope that they know they can do this. I don't know if you've seen Phil the Power Taylor. I'm an extraordinary man. He's won the world championship 15 times. But he knows when he goes out there, he's going to win. But then you get other people who go out there saying, oh, I might do all right. And they're out the first round, aren't they? And you see how powerful is hope in our lives? How powerful is faith in our lives? Because it allows us to see the potential of what we can become. It doesn't withdraw and says, poor old me. It thinks, my gosh, there's a potential here to be different and change. And that for me means that whatever we're facing this year, whether we've got family, loved ones who are going through an illness, whether we've got whatever it is, there's a great potential for God to show his faithfulness in the midst of that. Then it goes on to say, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. And these words, again, I think are very similar, because being terrified and discouraged are very similar. I think there's an absence of hope. Terrifying is obviously like me in the plane thinking the whole blooming thing's going to go down, which is an extreme version of worry, isn't it? And being discouraged is like a minor version that, you know, this might not be about the plane going down, but it might be whether, you know, whatever we worry about. But when we have hope, it encourages us to keep going. You can see the way ahead, a chink of light at the end of the tunnel. In Hebrews it says this, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Isn't that amazing? God gives an eternal encouragement, a hope that lasts forever. Hebrews says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And Jesus always lived with the end in mind. His focus was on the joy set before him. He had to walk out the cross. And I was reading over Christmas, which is a funny time to be reading things about the cross, but I was reading in the end of John, the end of Matthew, and Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, Lord, please take this away from me, but not your will, not my will, but yours. And then an hour later, he says the same thing. He says, Lord, please take this away from me. And he says, not my will, but yours. And then finally fell down on his knees, which I think is a thing, he's basically saying, please, can you take this away from me? But not my will, but yours. And then suddenly something changed. He said, the time has come. And in the process of laying down his will for God's, God gave him everything he needed to face the cross. Not my will, but yours. And so I want to encourage each one of you this morning that God is with us. And Moses says to us today, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I think that's the Lord speaking, isn't it? So shall we stand, and we're going to do that as a posture before the Lord, but we're going to take communion as we stand. But let's just stand and just let those words sink in. That's great, Rob, cheers. Brilliant. That's great. My prayer this morning is that when, in the story of the road to Emmaus, it was when the bread was broken that they recognized Jesus. And my prayer this morning is as we take bread together that we'd recognize Jesus. That whatever we've been walking away from, that Jesus is with us. So Lord Jesus, we come around your table as your people together. Perfectly loved by you. And Lord, each one of us here is precious in your eyes. And Lord, we come this morning, Lord, sometimes discouraged, sometimes terrified, sometimes full of hope, sometimes full of joy. And we want to bring our emotions to you this morning. Whatever we feel, whatever. And Lord, how we feel blows like the wind. But Lord, your word is a firm foundation. Lord, I want to pray now that you would put your foundation afresh beneath our feet. And this morning that we would be reminded that you are with us, you'll never leave us nor forsake us. That through what you've done for us upon the cross, that we can be strong and courageous. Not in our strength, but yours alone. And so, Lord, on the night that you were with your disciples, Lord, and Lord, I just thank you that you took the bread. You gave thanks. You broke it and gave it to them, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And at the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, and again you gave thanks. He said this, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And so shall we pray the Lord's Prayer together as a reminder of God's prayer for this new year. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so can I ask two people, one to do the bread and the wine this side, one person to do the bread and the wine this side. We'll just have two locations here this morning because there's not loads of us. So could I have a couple of people who could do that? That'd be brilliant, there's one there. It's brilliant, it's the bread for you. There you go, cheers. Okay. Excellent, cheers, Andrew. That's brilliant, thanks. That's great, lovely, thank you. And then, oh, nice one, brilliant. Brilliant, there you go. So draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you, and feed on him in your hearts with thanksgiving. Amen. So we'd like to welcome all of you to God's table. So to the left or to the right, please feel free to take it.